Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation, a chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show, put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Well, howdy, neighbors. We're glad to be along with you today, and we are pleased to be in the offices of Gerald Callahan, headquarters of Express Ranches, Yukon, Oklahoma. And we're going to talk for the next few minutes with Gerald about kind of his life in the cattle business, how he got started growing up in the state of Oklahoma, and all the things that he's been able to do on behalf of the cattle industry, of young people, and the state of Oklahoma for that matter as well. Gerald, thank you for taking time to be with us for a few minutes today.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here today.
Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, your beginnings. In other words, Gerald, what's your full name?
Well, my full name is Gerald Eldon Callahan, and I was raised in a little town, well, not in the little town, but in Welch, Oklahoma. My mom and dad's farm and ranch was 14 miles northwest of Welch, and pretty good country. It's a little rocky up there, mm-hmm. but it's pretty good ag country, and it's we're kind of on the edge of where the tame grass is east of there, and from there west is kind of the bigger ranches and the blue stem country, and so we're kind of on the edge of that. And my folks had some of both. They had some tame grass and they had some blue stem country, as well as my dad farmed quite a lot.
Tame grass, what is that?
Well, that'd be Bermuda and fescue. Oh. Primarily fescue in that country. It'd be improved grasses, and you know, it's a area of the country that gets in the low 40s on average rainfall, but it's very variable up there, like most of the state. They've been dry up there the last two or three years, and but most of the time they have adequate moisture up there to be pretty productive in terms of growing good grass. The farming is pretty unpredictable up there, in terms of if they get adequate moisture in the summertime to raise good crops.
Good part of the country for sure. You, of course, right on the corner of two or three states right there. I mean, obviously, yeah. Kansas, rocks throw away, and Missouri not far away either.
Yeah, in fact, when I was growing up, it was kind of interesting. My folks lived 2 miles south of the state line, and our telephone came out of Bartlett, Kansas. And our address, which now you can't do it, they changed the federal law. We actually had a Chautauqua, Kansas address, Rural Route 2, Chautauqua, Kansas. And us kids went to school in Welch, Oklahoma. So it was a little confusing and actually caused some problems when you went away to college and made application, mm-hmm. because you'd have a Kansas address. And so they'd wonder if you were out of state and you had a Bartlett, Kansas phone number. And so it was it wasn't the best deal in some respects. Now they've changed that, and now they have a Welch address, et cetera, et cetera, and a 918 area code. But it wasn't that way when I was growing up.
I guess growing up, when you wanted to go to a big town, you go to Joplin? Or
actually, we lived kind of interesting. The big towns at that time, Coffeyville, Kansas, was 26 miles away. Mm-hmm. Parsons was 28. Vinita, the county seat in Craig County, was 28, and Miami was 25 or 6. And so they lived almost in the center of those four. And if you wanted to go to a big town, it was Joplin or Tulsa. But during that period of time, those towns were prospering probably a little more than they are now. And, you know, Miami had B.F. Goodrich, and Coffeyville had a whole bunch of industry and the aircraft industry, and some of those towns have really suffered from losing some industry and mm-hmm. have never totally been what they once were.
So tell me about growing up in the small community of Welch, as far as, you know, school and all of that.
You know, I thought we had a good school. I thought I got a pretty good education. I was there when the school was the biggest, I guess, it ever was. And in my class, there was about 50 students and 50 students on either side. I think this last spring I saw they graduated 12. And so, like a lot of rural Oklahoma, you've had an exodus. But at that time, I was with a very talented class, and 30-some of the 50 went on to college. There's veterinarians in my class, and lawyers, and MD, And so I was fortunate to be with a group of students that were pretty highly motivated and went on and were pretty highly successful. We had good athletic teams, and I loved basketball when I was there, and we won state in baseball. And we had a really good livestock judging team, and we won most of the state contests and went on to the Nationals in Denver and won that when I was in high school, and that kind of jettisoned me on to kind of the livestock judging deal, and that I've spent a lot of my adult life, I guess, in that arena to a certain degree, and applying those principles to a lot of the jobs that I've had, and it helped me get my foot in the door later when I was a college instructor and later an assistant professor at OSU.
So do you do 4-H and FFA? Or?
Yes, I was very involved in a little bit in 4-H, but in those days you couldn't have dual enrollment, so as soon as I became a freshman, I was in FFA.
Mm-hmm.
And was very involved in FFA and showed steers, few heifers, and showed barras. We didn't even have a lamb show at our county fair in those days. So if you wanted to show at the county, you showed either cattle or hogs. And, mm-hmm. and there wasn't a sheep show at that in that period of time. And, you know, it was a big deal to have something good enough to go on to Tulsa in the fall or to Oklahoma City Spring Livestock Show in those days mm-hmm. in the spring. And I showed at Tulsa two or three times. I think I only showed at Oklahoma City one time in the spring because when you lived at Welch, you had to have something pretty good to haul it all the way to Oklahoma City.
Indeed. Now, what year did you graduate?
I graduated high school in 1972.
Okay. So, 72, you graduate from Welch. Obviously, you've worked quite a bit for your dad, I guess, on the ranch as well, right, on the farm.
Yeah, I hauled a lot of hay in the summertime, and we had a diversified operation, wheat, corn, soybeans, and baled a lot of hay. And then dad run 800 to 1,000 yearlings. And the size of the cow herd would really vary from 50 cows to 400 or 500 cows. Mm. And we operated quite a few of the cattle was on leased country, and it was a little easier to lease grass for yearlings than it was for the cow-calf deal in that country. And so we run quite a few yearling cattle. We had a little feed yard at home, and at that time there was a lot of smaller packing plants. You had Copac at Coffeyville. Dad had a cousin that bought for Armour, and so we would sell a lot of those yearlings off grass, but we would always typically feed a couple hundred of them, and at a little feed yard that we had where we got to mix the feed and do all that, and it was a good learning experience. And my dad was a very smart guy and a very, 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 very hardworking guy. And started with very, very little and built a nice operation, a very successful operation. And he believed in diversity in terms of not having all your eggs in one basket in agriculture. And he allowed me to make a lot of mistakes. And I think in the cattle business and in agriculture, learning by doing is very, very important. And, if you don't make any mistakes, you probably aren't learning very much, because I think that getting to do it yourself and seeing what works and what doesn't work is very important. And he allowed me to do a lot of that, and I'll be forever grateful. And I think it's something that hopefully I've carried with me and tried to impart to the people that have worked with me and for me, is that when you do everything right, you don't learn very much. But when you make a mistake, it's an opportunity to learn and improve.
Indeed, indeed. When we start talking about the young people in agriculture, it's a place that they learn the work ethic and the responsibilities and all that. It sounds like you got a lot of that growing up.
All of us as we get older are always, concerned about the next generation and how they're being raised. And there wasn't video games. We got two channels on the TV most of the time, not always. And so, you know, as you look at the generation today, they're much more advanced, these kids are, in a lot of ways than my generation was. But my generation had the advantage probably in terms of work ethic and being expectations. And one of the beautiful thing about 4-H and FFA, that being responsible for livestock and you know, there's a movie where the women are playing baseball and Tom Hanks said, mm-hmm. you know, there's no crying in baseball. Well, when you're running livestock, there's really not any vacations. Those cattle need hogs, sheep. Those FFA and 4-H projects, they need care 7 days a week, morning mm-hmm. and evening. And so just being responsible for something other than yourself is a great teaching tool, I think. And it's something that makes you potentially a better parent. I think it makes you a better person. It teaches you accountability, responsibility. There's days no one wants to jump up early in the morning or stay late at night when the weather's cold and when it's raining or whatever. But those animals, those projects, they need care. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the really beneficial things. We all get caught up in who wins and loses, and because we're competitive, and I'm competitive too. But I think one of the neat things about 4-H and FFA, you kind of get out of it what you put into it. And I think that's very, very important. And I think it's something everybody needs. Mm. And so I think those two programs for the youth are excellent programs and provide that platform where young people can learn a lot of the important life lessons.
So before we jump off into college, what was a typical Saturday night for Gerald growing up, maybe junior high, high school in Welch?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot to do, in terms of we had a pool hall, and I got to be a pretty good pool shooter, I thought, when I was in high school. I went away to college and found out I probably wasn't quite as good as I thought I was. But, we were really involved. I was really involved in athletics. And so, you know, you had the Friday night basketball games, and you didn't get in late, and lots of times we'd have doubleheaders and baseball on Saturdays. And so you usually went to Miami. They had a really nice movie theater called the Coleman Theater in Miami, Oklahoma, and they had, I think, one of the first Sonics around, and you'd go to Sonic and get a cheeseburger and onion rings, and you'd go to the Coleman Theater to watch a movie. That was kind of the big thing in Welch, Oklahoma.
Good deal. We're talking today with Gerald Callahan, and find out a little bit more about his life and growing up and all the things he's been able to do that's involved agriculture, including the cattle industry. Gerald, let's talk about that after graduation. You made the decision to stay pretty close to home for college.
Yeah, I went to NEO. I had a judging team scholarship there and went to NEO and was on the livestock judging team there. And you know, NEO at one time was very, very dominant nationally in livestock judging and had a tremendous history. Harry Sinar had started the program, and after Harry, a guy named Neil Burcham came in, and Neil went on and was the judging team coach at New Mexico. After Neil Burcham was Bill Abel. Mm-hmm. He left NEO after he coached there and went to Kansas State University as a judging team coach and was very, very successful. After Bill Abel was Jerry Douglas from my hometown, and Jerry had two tenures there. Jerry was my judging team coach and was very, very, very successful. Then after college and I replaced Jerry, then I actually hired Jerry back, and then when I went to OSU, he replaced me, but I'm getting ahead of the story. And so Jerry was my judging team coach, and we were very very, very successful judging there at NEO. And NEO was a great place for me, coming from a smaller school, growing up in a rural area. The class sizes for English and a lot of those classes were small. I think they capped them at that time at 25 students. And so NEO was a great environment for me to get my feet wet in college. And I really enjoyed my 2 years at NEO, and it was a great place to go.
You know, when we talk about some of these two-year colleges, junior colleges, of course, what we make a reference to them, there are a set of them around the country that they're just outstanding, particularly when it comes to livestock judging.
Yeah, they are. They really are. And we're blessed in Oklahoma. We have three or four of the really good ones nationally. And NEO, Connors, Redland. We have Northern. We have some really good programs in the state of Oklahoma and have had historically. And Oklahoma is really known for that nationally. And it was a great way for me to make that transition from a real rural kid growing up on a farm and ranch out in the country to make that transition to college. And you know, I suppose I would have made it if I'd have went straight into OSU, but I think it was a lot easier for me, if you will, making that transition to a junior college before I went on to the larger university.
You obviously had success at NEO. That type of success makes it easier to go and be a part of a four-year institution as well.
Yeah, I went from NEO on to OSU and loved OSU and Judge Livestock there on the 1975 team, and we won Denver, Fort Worth, Houston. We had a really good group of guys that I remain friends and close to this day, most of them. And Dr. Bob Kropp was finishing up his PhD at the time. He didn't have it. He was in graduate school, and he was our coach at the time, and Bob wasn't a whole lot older than us. And but we had a really good group and really enjoyed it there. And I was an animal science major, had a great set of professors. Dr. Todashek, it was his last semester teaching before he became the department head, and he taught beef production. But I had a great set of Don Wagner, who became department head, taught applied nutrition. It was great in the class. He was absolutely fantastic in the classroom. And so I thought I got an excellent, excellent education there and was very involved in Block and Bridle and Ag Council and was president of Block and Bridle and was an officer in Ag Council. And so it still gave me an opportunity, even though I was a transfer student, to get involved in some of the clubs and campus activities. And I think OSU is still a great place. And in the agricultural world, particularly in animal science, OSU is one of the go-to places. It's kind of became, and I'm bragging here because of my ties, but it's kind of become the Alabama, if you will, of the animal science departments in the United States. It's where a lot of kids from all across the country want to attend.
We got just a tremendous number of out-of-state students that do want to be here at OSU, that's for sure.
That's correct. I mean, it's drawn them. And one of the reasons I think for that, I think there's several reasons. While OSU is good in research and needs to even continually get better, they're good in extension, but I think that they haven't discounted the undergraduate experience and undergraduate teaching. They have the purebred units where a lot of students work and still get a lot of hands-on experience. And so they, between the judging teams and the purebred units and the ability to get involved and interact with other people of like interests, I think they've created an environment where young people want to be. And I think it's benefited them, and I think it benefits the students as well.
Sure. Let's talk about, as far as beyond just the ag school, beyond just the livestock judging team, what was OSU like for you as far as the social end of it?
I was married when I was going to OSU, so the social part. And when you judge livestock, you have kind of two 90-day seasons. And you only have 1 year of collegiate eligibility to compete in senior college and 1 year in junior college. And so you compete typically the spring semester of your junior year and the fall semester of your senior year. And when you're in those two 90-day seasons, they're pretty much all-encompassing. You go to class and you judge livestock. And I worked a little as well. I worked in the dean's office. I was on a Lou Wentz scholarship, and that was a good experience as well. But during that period of time when you're judging livestock, it takes a lot of time, and it's a 20-30 hour a week on top of your classes, and then you're traveling to the contest, and so you're trying to get your work done before you go academically, and then you're catching up when you get back. And so it was a pretty the 2 years there were pretty pretty intense in terms of time commitment. And so you know, and in the upper division level, you pretty much yes, you took some classes across campus, but a lot of those general ed courses were taken care of. So you spend most of your time in the College of Ag and interacting there.
Mm-hmm. So when you look back on this side of that experience, what do you think you really, how did livestock judging, especially, how did that get you ready for success in the cattle industry?
Well, I think a lot of things in livestock judging were a little bit comparable to what we were talking about with 4-H and FFA projects. You know, it's competitive, but one of the things you learn in livestock judging is you learn how to be wrong, because you have to defend your placings in oral reasons. And sometimes you don't get a perfect score on the class, and you have to communicate why you did what you did and what the logic of that was. And so I think if you look at most people that evaluate weaknesses in our education system, that one of the things that they'll come up with is the ability to communicate needs to be better. The ability to critically think needs to be better. And livestock judging is all about critical, logical thinking and about communication.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it really goes a long ways in terms of preparing people for the job market. Plus, just the dedication it takes to be successful, the hours, the weekends. You know, sometimes it would be a lot more fun to go to watch OSU play football on Saturday, but most judging teams work out Friday afternoons, Saturdays all day, and usually we talked reasons on Sunday night, and then we worked out on Tuesday and Thursday evenings. And so, you know, the dedication, the time commitment that it takes, and if you find somebody that's been successful on a livestock judging team, I'll show you somebody that's willing to work more than 40 hours a week, that they're willing to put in the hours to be successful.
Okay. You got through that undergraduate experience. What happened next?
Actually, when I graduated, Dr. Todashek was convinced that I needed to go on to graduate school, but I was married and I was ready to make some money. So I actually, a family friend, Jim Noble, and had leased the Blue Ribbon Ranch in Juan, Oklahoma, a 10,000-acre, really nice ranch. And I had committed, and my dad was subleasing part of it, and I had committed actually early on to go to work on the Blue Ribbon Ranch as the manager. And along about that time, Jerry Douglas left NEO, and so Harry Siner, the department head, called me and wanted me as a ripe old age of 21 to come and be the judging team coach at NEO. And I debated it a long time, and I talked to my father, and I talked to Jim Noble, and to make a long story short, I went over and talked to Harry, and he offered me the job on the spot and the president of the school, and they recruited on me pretty hard. So I went back home and told everybody that's what I'd like to do, but I'd already made a commitment, and they had to be kind enough to let me out of my commitment, which they both were. And so I started teaching. I got out of OSU in May of 76 and started at NEO in July of 76. And I was green, and I was 21, and I wasn't much older than the students that I had, and had a great set of students, and we won the first few contests we went to. And at Louisville, we were very, very – had a really good – all five kids were in the top seven individuals overall.
You would win that. Yeah.
And we won every species, had high individual in every species, and I was hooked on being a judging team coach. And probably didn't know a whole lot, but I had a set of kids that were Kim Brock, Buck Waite, Ralph Waite Jr., I guess is his real name, Phil Stacy, Gloria Walters, Claude Brigance, Rick Rexwinkle. They were a very, very talented group, and so we won Louisville there in the fall of 76, and I was off to being a judging team coach.
How many years at NEO's judging team?
I spent 6 years at NEO. I became department head there after 4 years, and Harry retired, and I became department chairman. And then OSU, Bob Kropp had decided to do something different within the department. So Todd Ashek called me, and I wasn't interested. NEO was, like I said earlier, Miami's 25 miles from where I grew up. I loved it there. I wasn't interested. Plus, in the meantime, I'd gotten a master's degree at University of Arkansas, but I really wasn't ready to move to OSU. And so they interviewed several people at OSU over the course of a year and couldn't get together with anybody. And I was actually judging at the State Fair of Oklahoma, and Todd Ashek was there, and he said, "Hey, I need to talk to you when you get done." So he waited around until I got done. I was actually judging the Lamb Show. I remember this. And he said, "What will it take to get you to come to OSU to be the judging team coach?" And so I spouted off two or three things, and that was before mobile phones. And I drove back to Miami that night, and he called, and he said, "Well, I've talked to the dean, and when are you coming?" And I'd price my horse, and I didn't know whether I'd made a good decision or not, and so I left NEO and went to Oklahoma State and started coaching there. And a lot of those kids that I'd coached in NEO was on my team at OSU. And OSU had went through a period of time where they were not as successful as they had been historically. They had had a few successes, but overall. And so it was a challenge to build it back to what it once was. And I taught the livestock evaluation courses and advised a lot of students. Started out there as an instructor, then later became an assistant professor. Absolutely loved it. The first year I was there, to be honest, I was saying, "What in the heck did I do this for?" but then that was in 82, and 83, we got a little better, 84, a little better, and by 85, we were rocking and rolling on the judging team, and in the meantime, I was teaching purebred beef production and took over the purebred cow herds at OSU. And with the internship program and job placement, I had wore a lot of different hats, but I worked for an amazing individual. Dr. Todd Ashek is one of my heroes. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. He was somebody you could learn a lot from if you would pay attention, and probably I should have paid more attention because he could teach you a lot. And I love my time at OSU, and I was there about 9.5 years, and from 82 to through 91. And I loved the students. We had a lot of good students, had a lot of good judging teams, but just a lot of good overall students, even those you get particularly close when you're the judging team coach to those that you travel so much with on the judging team. But I had a lot of good students that I got to work with.
I guess you also obviously get to teach and work out with the students as far as on the judging team itself, but you also have to recruit those students, don't you?
You know, it was different that day. I tried to build an environment and the success where students wanted to come. And in those days, totally different than the world is today, recruiting out of state, recruiting was a little bit frowned upon. In fact, there was rules by the National Coaching Association that you could not give scholarships based solely on livestock judging. You could, if they had the academics, and stuff, you know, if they had the resume and the transcript, you could. And so it's changed like the world has changed. And so, you know, majority of our kids were homegrown Oklahoma kids. Yes, as we started winning more and more, we got kids from Blackhawk, from Illinois and from all over the country. But the predominant mix was homegrown kids. Mm. And so recruiting was not at the level then that it is at today. And, you know, I guess I had a little bit the concept then that probably wouldn't work very well today. It's kind of like if you build a restaurant and you have good food, you think people will come. And that's kind of the way it worked in those days. If you were successful, you had a good program, then students would come.
We're talking to Jerry O'Callaghan, Express Ranch. He's going to get the Express here eventually, but I guess you got one or two other stops before before you had a conversation with Bob Funk. But was OCA the next stop?
OCA was the next stop, and then. And, you know, I guess it would be in 91, I left OSU. I was a tenured assistant professor, and that was another tough decision. But my predecessor at OCA was a gentleman named Ellis Frenney that had done a really, really good job. But I had a lot of my cattle buddies that really encouraged me to do it. I always thought coaching livestock judging teams was a young guy's deal because the amount of time and the travel is a lot. Mm-hmm. I was gone, counting that and judging shows, I was gone over 180 nights a year.
Wow.
And so you're gone half the time, at least. And part of that was show judging, which when you coach the judging team at OSU, they encourage you to do that on a national basis. And so I left and went to the OCA. Probably if I'd have known the financial shape that OCA was in at the time, I probably wouldn't have done that. But we had a nice run there. We doubled membership, started a lot of county associations, started the Junior Cattlemen's, got the foundation up and running with the help of Billy Yarborough, a big donation there, started the advanced cattle management deals during the OCA convention, and the young leadership deal and the stake tents. And so it was a time that there was an opportunity. It was a window of time and there was an opportunity to do a lot of things. The lobbying, I didn't know anything about. I was, totally lacking in any knowledge of what it took to be a lobbyist or what it was all about. But that was a period of time that before term limits when the legislature in the state of Oklahoma was dominated by rural members that had longevity, that had tenure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very, very good environment. You know, Frank Lucas was in the House. Mary Fallon was in the House of Representatives. There was a lot of people there that were easy to work with on behalf of agriculture and the cattle business, and it was a very ripe time to get some legislation done on the benefit of agriculture and cattle producers, and you had a lot of people willing that were in positions of influence that were willing to help do that. And so we had a lot of success doing those things that the industry wanted for the good of the industry, and it was very rewarding in that from that standpoint.
Let's move forward. Are we getting close to Express?
Oh, yeah. Then Bob Funk started approaching me about coming to work at Express. And, you know, I was I wasn't that interested. And actually, my wife Jennifer and I had dinner with Bob, and he was recruiting on me, and we left. Jennifer says, are you really very interested in that? And she was finishing up law school, and I said, I don't think so. I like it pretty good at the OCA, and we had a small registered herd of cattle of our own, and You know, I don't think so. And Bob kept recruiting on me, and that's what Bob does for a living. And pretty soon I said yes. And so I think I'm in my 29th or 30th year here. 29th, I think. And so
he recruited well.
Yeah, and so I left the OCA and came to Express and have been here ever since. Bob had, I had had some interaction with Bob because through the Billy Yarborough donation to the OCA Foundation, then we turned around and sold the Angus cows and the equipment to Bob and leased him the B&L property at Shawnee and Turkey Creek on a two-year lease deal. And so he basically said, you know, you sold me that stuff, now you got to come and make it work. And so sold him that in April 1st, I think, of 94. And so I had been, since selling him that, I'd kind of been an unpaid consultant on the Angus side a little bit. And then in 96, I came to work here full time. Bob's been great to work for. A lot like Dr. Todashek, Bob is, you can learn a lot from him. He has a skill set that's pretty unique. He's the best people person I think I've ever met. He has an ability to motivate people. He's probably the highest energy. He's having some back problems now, but his he go, 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 go. He's a go, go guy, and he's a positive guy. Things can be, in my mind, not going very good, and this problem and that problem, and it doesn't seem to affect his mood or his psyche very much, and he's a can-do person with a tremendous amount of energy and tremendous people skills, and I think I've learned a lot from him as well. I think I've been fortunate.
The issue of, in other words, when we stop and think about today versus then, any idea in your mind back then as you came to work for Express, as you came to work for Mr. Funk, that you'd be ended up one of the largest seed stock producers in America?
You know, we had a conversation early on. They'd had one bull sale over at OKC West that I went to before I came to work here full time. And we had lots of meetings in those days, and Bob had aspirations always to be big. I can't remember exactly how the conversation went. And I said, I don't know if you have a very good location, Bob, to sell 100 bulls, but I think you have a pretty good location maybe someday to sell 1,000 bulls. And he said, well, you're going to have to tell me what you mean by that. And I said, right where we're located is, you know, it wasn't nearly as urban there then as it is now. But I said, you have a lot of smaller operations that are primarily farm-oriented, wheat, alfalfa. And if you're going to sell bulls for good value in volume, you're going to have volume. And we're located, the three big cow-calf parts of the state, kind of the southern part, the northeast part, and the northwest part, we're, you know, 2 or 3 hours away, 3 hours away from about everybody in the state, from most of the state. So I think you have a pretty good location if you have the volume to bring the operations in from different parts of the state. But if you just have a small sale, you're probably not going to pull people from very far away to look at a small offering. And so Bob, of course, wanted to be larger. He thinks bigger's better. I don't always agree, but he thinks bigger's better. And so we gradually started growing the size of the operation, and the market will tell you how big you can get. You know, if we have a bull sale and we've got 275 bulls in this next sale, if we run out of buyers, that basically says we've outran our coverage, that we don't have as big a market as we think we do. And so there was a period of time in Oklahoma that people started using more and more Angus bulls, and so we really weren't even furnishing the customers we had with as many bulls they needed. So we went out and solicited bulls and helped people fill orders, and that gave us the confidence to continually grow the operation.
Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, as you've come along, there's been a lot of other enterprises that have kind of popped up along the way, nonprofit or for-profit in some cases. But, Mr. Funk and Jimmy Harold and some others have been instrumental in reimagining the Spring Livestock Show that you showed at one time. And it's now the Oklahoma Youth Expo. You remember those early conversations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Spring Livestock Show was in bad shape. And really two individuals stepped up, and Jimmy Harold and Bob Funk, and backstopped that thing. And really was some tough times, and they really supported it. And, you know, it's one of the great venues, one of the great events in junior livestock shows. I've been fortunate enough to judge the Houstons, the Fort Worths, the San Antones, the Denvers, the Louisvilles. And the Youth Expo in Oklahoma City is pretty unique. It's huge. It's well ran. Oklahoma, for the size of the state, it's big, and it takes a lot of people to make that happen, and people like Joe Hughes and some that are no longer with us that really believed in it, and Todd Ashek that really believed in it, but Jimmy and Bob, they stepped up and kind of reinvigorated it and got it going again. And it enjoys tremendous prestige, not only here in Oklahoma, but it does nationally too. It's one of the great junior livestock shows in America, and it's well done. It's well respected, and it's quite an opportunity for the young people in Oklahoma to have an opportunity to participate there.
You've you mentioned all the shows around the country that you've shown. You've shown, obviously, or you've judged. You've had the opportunity to judge on the open side, but also on the junior side. And so you've seen a lot of 4-H and FFA kids around the country, haven't you?
Yeah, I've judged at most of the major youth shows around the country. For the population and everything, OYE is really good. You know, I've judged the Houston Livestock Show, junior shows, heifers, steers, Fort Worth, all of those. And OYE stacks up extremely well. It's one of the really good shows in the U.S. It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of support from Extension. It takes a lot of support from FFA. It takes a lot of people willing to give not only of their money but of their time to keep it that way. And mm-hmm. as long as we can continue to do that, I think it'll continue to be that successful.
Along the way, of course, Express has always been active on the show circuit. And when we had COVID come in and kind of turn our entire society upside down, unique opportunity came to Oklahoma City, and you were right there in the middle of it.
You know, that was an interesting time. You know, COVID, none of us knew what was going to happen, and so a lot of shows canceled. And I had a couple people reach out to me and said, well, what about Oklahoma City? And I said, well, I really don't know. And so we had... Bob Funk Jr. and I were meeting on another item as this was all unfolding. And I said, well, we'll have to get the permission of Oklahoma City and the mayor, and then we'll have to see if the venue's open, and it takes a lot of people. And so we made two or three phone calls, and nobody turned us down and reached out to the mayor, and And Bob Jr. did, and I was there with him on a Saturday morning, and he said, yeah, I think we can do it as long as we do masks and we do all these different things. And we reached out to State Fair, and the only time that was available was right there starting the 1st of January because of the big wrestling tournament. We called the breed associations and had all the breed associations come into Oklahoma City, and the breed associations, their members were hungry for it. And we started the Cattlemen's Congress, and we didn't have a budget or any money. The city gave us and the state gave us a little money. And the breed associations, that we said, you know, this is going to be a show, a cattle show for cattle people. And the breed associations pick their own judges. We don't pick them. And we don't ask the breed associations for any money. You know, we lease the facility from the state fair, state fairgrounds, and we contracted with the OYE staff to run it. And so we pay the OYE a fee. And then we put Bray, that works at OYE, on a little, he's kind of the head of that part. And we've got a small board that's comprised of a representative from American Angus, one from the Hereford, and one from the Maine and Jew Association, and then Tyler Norvell and myself. So it's a pretty nimble board that can react, and we've tried to listen to the customers, the people that show, and we've tried to make it a cattle show for cattle people. Mm-hmm. And it's went over really, really well, and it's been a huge deal for Oklahoma City. Its economic impact is the largest, they say, of any event held at the fairgrounds. We're really, really proud of it. I think it's something that, as long as we keep that in mind, I think it's something that will have a lot of benefit to the state, have a lot of benefit to the city, and it's people like coming to Oklahoma City. It's more affordable. It's more friendly. It's easier. And I think because of that, I think it has a great future.
I guess what, as long as we can keep the cattle into the equation happy, they seem, like you say, they seem to really like it.
Yeah, they seem to really like it. We've done some things a little different. We don't make them stay for 3 or 4 days after they're done showing like some of the shows do, which costs you a lot. We show a lot of cattle, and that's very expensive. We try to make it very user-friendly, and I think that's appreciated. And not only from the standpoint of labor, but also in terms of expense. It's expensive to show cattle. It costs a lot of money to travel, motels, food, et cetera, et cetera. And so we've tried to be accommodating and have the exhibitor in mind as we set the schedules, as we set the time frames. Mm-hmm. And then most of the breeds have had sales that accompany them. And this is a cattle state, number two in America in beef cow numbers most of the time. Then you have Texas right south of us that's number one. And so it's a great location for the cattle business and to do business. And the sales that the breed associations and others have had during the Cattlemen's Congress have been highly successful. And so that's important because, you know, in essence, a cattle show is a trade show. And if people can sell the product at a trade show or at a cattle show, mm-hmm. they stay pretty happy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been a big benefit as well.
Along the way, you've added a few other duties as well. I think, you know, for example, what the regions, state of Oklahoma came a calling, and you've answered that call.
Yeah, I've been on the OSU Board of Regents, the A&M Board of Regents. Actually, you have Oklahoma State, you have Panhandle State, Langston University, Connors, NEO, OSU Tulsa, OSU OKC, OSU IT in Okmulgee, as well as a medical school in Tulsa. So there's a lot of different colleges underneath that umbrella. I've been on there 7.5 years. Just got done completing a term as chairman. It's time consuming, but it's also exciting. You know, the group that that represent the Regents are a very passionate group about OSU. I made the erroneous assumption when I got on the board that nobody would be more passionate about NEO and OSU and the A&M board, because I went to NEO, OSU, I taught at NEO, OSU. But it's a very, very dedicated group of individuals that have the best interest of the students and the universities and the colleges at heart. And really appreciative of the legislature last year stepping up and providing a little more money. You know, we've transferred in Oklahoma over the last 15 years, we've transferred more and more of the financial burden of a college education to the student and the parents. And this last year, they ticked that up. The state support ticked up pretty good. Mm-hmm. We're very appreciative, so we were able to not raise tuition, not raise fees, which I'm very proud of. And what we're trying to do is give young people in Oklahoma an accessible, affordable, excellent education. That's our mission. And I think you got to have accessibility to college. You got to make it affordable, and you got to have quality. And I think we have all of those. And I think as long as we keep that mission in mind, we can continue to do a good job for the people of the state of Oklahoma.
Looking ahead, what's out there still that you want to conquer?
Oh, you know, I've never. I always think you can do better. And you know, one of the interesting, gratifying but frustrating parts of my job is I've never bred a perfect bull or a perfect heifer yet, and never will. And it, because it always changes, and so I'm always excited about the next calf crop. I'm always excited about the next set of matings and see how they turn out. I love watching cattle grow and develop, and really don't have many hobbies except cattle. And I really enjoy the cattle business. I enjoy the people in it and respect the people in it. I really enjoy the pursuit. I guess it's that it is the continual pursuit to make them better. So, you know, I'm never satisfied with that, probably never will be. And so about the time you know, and it's a funny deal in our business, about the time we figure out matings and a sire that really, really works, we have to move on to something different because our customers have bought bulls out of that sire for a mm-hmm. couple years. So they need a different sire line to breed them to. So we have to constantly be evolving and changing and hopefully improving as we go. And that's a real challenge that I haven't yet got tired of.
Mm. Gerald, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Gerald Callahan with Express Ranches. Tremendous impact on the cattle business, beef cattle business here, not just in Oklahoma, but across America, across North America, as Express Ranches, one of the premier seed stock operations in the entire world. A leader in Angus genetics and Hereford genetics, for that matter, as well. And along the way, he's judged a lot of cattle. He's trained a lot of young people to judge livestock. And he's helped put together one of the premier seed stock purebred cattle shows in this part of the world, Cattlemen's Congress. And oh, by the way, he's the 2023 inductee into the Saddle and Sirloin Portrait Gallery. That honor coming up in November at the North American Livestock Show in Louisville, Kentucky. Thanks for listening to our conversation. I'm Ron Hayes.